It is good to be in the Lord's house today, and I want to thank every single one of you that you are making the Lord's thing the first thing before you celebrate the 4th of July. And so thank you for being here today. My name is Kurt Tebley, kids pastor. My wife, Paula, and I, we have 7 children. Those of you that don't know, if you want to see all 7 of them in their best form, go look at my wife's Facebook page, Paula Tepley, and you can see our yearly version of them looking their best in our family photo. And they are 18 all the way down to 8 years old. Joey, Charlie, Danny, Ruby, Ellie, Maddie, and Rosie. And my son, Joey, he just turned 18. So... And you know, he's a pastor's kid, you know. And so the first thing he does is he goes out and gets himself a tattoo. So after I calmed down a couple days later, I was like, well, you know what? I mean, like, most of our pastors on staff have tattoos, so I mean, it's gonna be all right. And one of the things about our family is I am trying to lead our family in the way where all of my kids love the Lord. And in fact, right now they're up at Lake Geneva Bible Camp at family camp. I came back yesterday from there. I'll go back today, and we're just spending the week enjoying our time together, but also studying God's word and worshiping in the evening. And so if you have a family and you're like, you know what, our family needs something like that, come talk to me about family camp. Better yet, just talk to my wife. One thing I enjoy is I enjoy a good laugh in the Lord's house, and that is what we are going to do. There's going to be laughter, I hope. And there will also be a spiritual truth. So let's start with the spiritual truth as we begin. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 14, verse 13. We're going to focus on one verse, talk about this one verse all day today, and then we'll have a response. Acts chapter 14, verse 13. I have to say this. I'm going to set this up at the end of service. In that song, Touch of Heaven, there's a line. It says, Lord, I will open up again and throw my fears to the wind, desperate for a touch of heaven. Lord, I will open up again. For those of you who have been following the Lord for a long time, I want that to resonate in your spirit as we talk today. Lord, I will open up again. You see, when you follow the Lord for a long time, you go through the ups and the downs, the mountaintops and the valleys, and you get to this point where you're like, I don't know if I want to go through that again. I don't know if I want to respond to another prayer moment. I don't know if I want to respond to another altar call. But this is what I want to tee up for you over the next 26 minutes and 37 seconds is this. Lord, I will open up once again. All right, let's read the verse and then we'll pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that we could gather in your house. We thank you for your word as it directs our lives. And God, I pray that you would help me to clearly articulate and communicate your spiritual truths today as we sit and learn of your word. God, I pray you would help me and help every single one of us to respond to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. In that verse, there are 4 things that are characteristics or adjectives to Peter and John. The first one is this, boldness. They had boldness. If you read that verse in the NIV version, it says that they had courage. Okay, we're going to talk about that a lot today, but I want to get through the other ones before we get there. The next one that they talked about was uneducated or unschooled men. Now, I feel like this. I feel uneducated. Yes, I have a bachelor's degree in pastoral studies, but like, I'm not a doctor, and I clearly know that I'm not a doctor. My wife, on the other hand, she thinks she's a doctor. She just has more reps at like diagnosing rash. We have friends that will just send a rash that their kid has to my wife. Like, she's WebMD. Although, We did have a party at our house, like a block party. I'll talk about it a little later. And one of these kids was jumping on the bounce house, and the little girl came up and she goes, "My arm hurts," you know. And my wife goes, "It's broken." And they took the little girl. Her name was Sophia. They took the little girl to the emergency room, and there's a long line. They're like, "No, she's fine. She's feeling better," you know. And then they came back home, and then she started crying. And then they took her back, and guess what? It was broken. So please do not further propitiate this idea that my wife is a doctor, because she is not. But so I feel uneducated. I really do. You know, early on, after I graduated, I was running this small window cleaning company, and I was like, you know what? I should go get an MBA, because that's what people do. You know, they go get an MBA. They learn how to run a business, you know. And I got this massive contract with Chipotle, and I had a decision to make. It's like, well, I either go to school to learn how to run a business, or I just run one. And guess what? I just ran one, but how many of you know that I paid the price both ways? I was either going to pay for the education or pay in inexperience. And that's you know. Also, I have a question. Those of you that know me, has my IQ dropped in the last year? No, like drastically, has it dropped? Because I have four teenagers in my house, and for some reason, they think that my IQ has just gone down the toilet. I don't know what happened. Over the last couple of years, I just have become the dumbest person in our house. Any parents of teenagers relate with me on that one? Yeah, yeah, yeah? Like, I don't, all right. Well, anyway, just let me know. Let me know if you guys, you know what, Carter, we actually saw, and it just, we didn't want to say anything, but. The NIV says that these men were also ordinary men. Isn't this what the world is looking for? Ordinary people. You know, I want to, Peter and John, they go, hold on, they're uneducated, they're just ordinary men. We're a group of ordinary people, and I'm okay with that. And God used ordinary people, and it's one of those things where we need people, we need men who will elevate the spiritual climate in their homes, their work, their country club, their gym, wherever they hang out. And just a little side note to kids ministry for a second. I need ordinary men to teach young boys how to worship God. Come on. Right? Let's not make the kids ministry the moms and the grandmas thing. How many of you guys grew up in a church like that? The moms and the grandmas ran the kids ministry. Yep, yep, yep. Let's make the kids ministry a place where young boys are watching young men worship the Lord and hear from the Lord in their lives. You can say amen there. That was good. That was really good. And the last thing it said, so it said that they were bold, they had courage, they were uneducated, they were ordinary men. And then the last thing it says, it noted that they were with Jesus. I love being out in the community. I spend a lot of time playing pickup basketball at Lifetime, and I play in a beer league softball. You know, and they all know me as the pastor. The joke is, did you bring any Kool-Aid this week so I could have something to drink? You know, like I love being in community with people who don't know Jesus, right? And we throw this big block party every year, have a couple hundred of our closest friends. It's just our neighborhood celebrating schools out. And why do I do that? Because I want people to know that I have been with Jesus. You know, I met a guy on Thursday of this week, and I was over at his house, and I saw his golf bag, and I said, "Oh, you're a member of this country club." I go, "Oh, do you know so-and-so? They go to our church." And he looked at me like, "That guy goes to church? I'm just giving you your warning that I have this amazing ability to have a CRM in my head, and I remember people's names and what they do and how they can connect with people. I feel like the Lord has gifted me in connecting people with each other because God has a bigger destiny for them. And so sometimes I'll connect people and then they'll go, "Oh, they go to church? Oh, just be a person that is noted for being with Jesus." And it makes life a lot easier. Okay, there was your warning. Okay, all right. Why do I take this little detour on this one? Because I need you to put yourself in the shoes of Peter and John today. I need you to be in their shoes. A lot of times, you know, whatever, preachers will put themselves as the main Bible character, but I need you to be the main Bible character today as we talk about Peter and John. Because they're ordinary people, they're uneducated. What that really meant in those times was they weren't trained as rabbis. That's what it meant. They didn't go to Bible college. We're uneducated, ordinary people that have been with Jesus, and we're going to do something bold for the Lord. Now, here's the thing. To fully understand Acts chapter 14, verse 13, we have to go all the way back to Acts chapter 3, the beginning of Acts chapter 3. And if you have your Bible, you can kind of follow along. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a direct quote from the research that I received as part of the sermon prep, okay? And now, that's not important to anybody, but it's going to be very important in a little bit. So I'm just going to read directly from the research. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, Peter and John encounter a lame beggar at the temple gate. The beggar asks for alms, and Peter has his famous line, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter lifts him up by the hand, and he is healed, walking and leaping, praising God. The people who witnessed it were amazed. We jump to chapter 3, verse 11. Then Peter has an impromptu sermon similar to Acts chapter 2. A bunch of people come to know Jesus. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And at chapter 3, it is a response to the miracle and the first recorded miracle after Pentecost, which was in Acts chapter 2. The beginning of chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, there's a growing crowd and excitement, and there's fear of a riot inciting, and the rulers, the Sadducees, have Peter and John arrested. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "The next day, Peter and John were before the rulers and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?'" Peter responds. I love Peter's responses. Sometimes they're really good in the Bible. Sometimes they're really off. This one is really, really good. And Peter goes, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, "Oh, well, I'm gonna paraphrase a little bit. Oh, you want to know how that man was healed? I'll tell you how that man was healed. It was Jesus who healed him. It wasn't me. It wasn't my thoughts, my ideas. It wasn't me." This is all a paraphrase. "It wasn't me at all. It was Jesus." Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. You want to know how it happened? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and has been asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead. That man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." Let's just sing cornerstone right now. Okay, all right, never mind. "Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Oh, you want to know how that man was healed? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. The guy you rejected, the guy that you guys crucified, by his name and his name alone, was the man that healed that lame beggar and is the one that gives every single one of us salvation. That's the guy who made it happen. That's good. That's good preaching. This is a really good preaching. My mom is here. So what is biblical boldness? I'll tell you what biblical boldness is not. It's not a voice out of arrogance. It's not somebody standing on a soapbox. I'll give you a little test. Here's what soapbox thinking is, if you want to be bold. Because people are bold about silly things. Some people are bold about the Green Bay Packers. Soapbox, here's what it does. It elevates me. my opinions, my thoughts, and my agenda. That's what a soapbox does. It's all about me and my thoughts, my opinions. Well, you should believe like me. And here's the worst part. Sometimes people will go around on a soapbox just regurgitating somebody else's idea that they heard somewhere. That's really good. Here's what Jesus does. If you wanna be bold, you gotta elevate Jesus. You gotta elevate the Word of God. You gotta elevate God's will and His character. Don't be bold going around on a soapbox telling everybody about your thought construct. Be bold about Jesus. Be bold about the Word of God. Sometimes people, you know, I know how that can get confusing. Well, the Lord told me I need to go do that. No, you need to chill out. That's what you need to do. Be bold about what God wants you to be bold about. I'm going to give you three things. Biblical boldness. Be bold in asking. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Psalms 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried out, You answered me, and You made me bold with strength in my soul. What have you not brought to God? What issues, situations have you not brought before the Lord? What has been out of bounds? Be bold in asking. Don't put things out of bounds because, I don't know if the Lord can do that. I don't know if God will ever fix that situation. No, be bold in asking of the Lord. The second thing is be bold in seeking. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Be bold in seeking the Lord. Go before Him. He's okay. You know, I was talking to somebody today. It was Wednesday from church. And they had a young guy pass away of cancer. And he just didn't know what to do. I go, it's okay. You can pray an angry prayer. God's not afraid of that. Pray an angry prayer. Go ahead. God's going to be okay. But be bold in your seeking. Matthew 26 tells us of a woman who boldly came to the feet of Jesus and poured out expensive oil. And all the disciples around like, why'd you do that? That was expensive. Which, by the way, okay, since my family is not here, I had to prepare things on my own. Like, I had to iron my own shirt today. And then I forgot my belt at camp. But good thing these things have elastic in them because... And I didn't have cologne. So then there are four other males that live at my house. My three sons and then Pastor Nick is our roommate until he can go to the mission field in China. Can we just pray that the borders of China open so he can move out? Anyway, so. So I have no cologne, I have no hair stuff. I'm walking around the house, going to their bathroom, and I go down to my boys' bathroom. This is just my real life. I go down to my boys' bathroom and I'm thinking, I actually need Clorox wipes. We don't have any Clorox wipes in our house. So I'm in there looking for cologne, something to smell good, you know? And I find Clorox wipes and I look at their bathroom and I go, they're not going to use these anyway, so I just take them. And then I find cheap cologne, so now I smell like cheap cologne from my son. And then I had to go to Pastor Nick's house or his bathroom and get hair gel, but guess what? I made it. Be bold in seeking. There you go. A woman comes before Jesus' feet. She pours out expensive oil. And she's like, I have to be at the feet of Jesus. He deserves this. And all the disciples are going, why? Be the person that is so bold in seeking. People go, why are you doing that? Be that person once and see what happens. The third thing is be bold in your prayers. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, it talks about And then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when he delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, this is a sign, this is in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon. Now, the story goes on in verses 11 and 12. Joshua prayed such a bold prayer. He said, Lord, could you just make the sun stand still so we could defeat the Amorites today? Could you do that? That's a bold prayer. If you're going around asking, Lord, I need more time today because I need to accomplish this for your sake, that's a bold prayer. Start asking, start praying bold prayers. Biblical boldness. So how do we even get here? Peter and John were just going on their way and they were headed to church. And they're walking to church. And they go, hey, this guy comes to him and says, hey, do you have any money? And Peter goes, I don't have money for you, but what I do have, I want to give to you. I want to pray for you. And then they go to church. And then it says that they kind of, you know, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. God was in this. And then all of a sudden, these people come to him, the Sadducees, and they go, hey, oh, how'd you do this? What, tell us what name. Tell us. Come on, tell us. What's going on? Here's what Peter and John did not do. They did not stand there and go, okay, John, Peter, okay, let's be bold for the Lord. Let's do this. Let's be bold. Okay, all right, let's go. They didn't sit there and go, I'm going to be bold for the Lord. Do you know what they were doing? They were living their lives full of the Holy Spirit, living on mission, and then all of a sudden they found themselves at a spot where they had to be bold. And then they, you know, Peter goes off and he goes, hey, you want to know how that man was healed? I'll tell you exactly how he was healed. It was because of Jesus. It was because of the guy you rejected, the guy you guys crucified, it was because of Jesus that man is healed. That's how it happened. And they go, okay, well, he's bold. They're uneducated. Okay. They're ordinary. And it looks to be like they have been with Jesus. That's how it went down. What I'm asking you as a group of believers is to be bold, live your life on mission, and then when you need to be, be extremely bold. That's what I'm asking you to do. Be people who, you want to know? You want to know how I've been doing good at this job for the last 5 years? It's because of Jesus. You want to know how we were able to just get through this last 3 or 4, it was because of Jesus. You want to know how we're able to just stand even in the defeat of crisis and it's because of Jesus. Do you want to know how I was healed? It was because of Jesus. Do you want to know how our marriage was restored? It was because of Jesus. Can we just be a group of people that are bold like that? Okay, here we go. I got a list of things. Bold actions that people might need to take. Here's one. You might need to encourage somebody. The Corso family. Oh, this is a great story. I got 6 minutes. This is great. Okay. This actually probably made my whole life and career. So years ago, I've been here 7 years. 9 years ago, the Corsos and the Tepleys, we live in Dayton, Ohio, and I work at a church called CLC, and they go to a church there. And I was, I don't know, I was making jokes. I showed my grocery receipt, you know, from feeding all those kids, and it was like that long. And then, you know, depending on where you go, you got another 4 feet of coupons, you know. anyway, so I was making a joke like that, and Jeff heard me preach there one time, and they move here. And they're here, and they're like, hold on, are you the guy with all the kids? I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy with all the kids. And he goes, he just says this prophetic encouragement. Man, I loved your preaching. And I go, that was like 6 years ago, and it probably wasn't even that good. But thank you, Jeff. I feel better. Here's a bold prophetic action that you can take. Go encourage somebody. Go encourage them. Where's Emma? Is Emma in here? Emma Richards was singing right over here. I sent her a text message. Hey, Emma. Hey. I sent her a text message. I go, I'm proud of you for singing on worship today. It's been a few months since you sang on worship, and I'm proud that you're singing on worship today. I want to encourage Emma. I'm proud of her. Go encourage someone. You know, here's another one, okay? I'm just going to list off a whole list of things here. Some of you guys need to go there. And what do I mean by that? Go get alone with what the Lord is put on your heart. Go get alone with your thoughts and you're in a quiet place. Get alone until you're not alone anymore. I heard somebody say that. Go to a quiet spot. And actually, if I'm completely honest, this is the one that I struggle with the most. That's why I put it first on the list. Like, I want to be going. This is why I run multiple businesses, have a lot of kids, a lot of people in my house working all the time. Like, I love the activity of living on mission. But I need to get alone with the Lord. Some of you guys need to go call a counselor. That's a bold action right there. Take a bold action and call. Are there any mental health specialists in here today? There's one. Can I get your number? No, I don't want to make light or joke of it, but some of you guys need to call a mental health specialist. Go to a counselor. Here's another one. Boldly address that long-lasting family relationship saga. Here it is. It's simple. I'm going to give you the verbiage. Hey, I would like to have Thanksgiving together this year. Let's figure our stuff out. Pretty simple, but it's a bold action. Some of you guys need to boldly forgive. Oh, man, that's a good one. This is another one. Some of you guys need to boldly interject yourself into someone's situation. This is by far... I've got 30 minutes, and I got 2 minutes and 42 seconds, and the Holy Spirit just leaves. So I better go quick. Here we go. Some of you guys need to boldly interject yourself into somebody's situation. What do I mean by that? Oh, you're going through a tough thing. Oh, okay, well, let us know if you need anything. No. You know, we were going through a health thing a couple weeks ago. Do you know what our small group did? They just came and brought groceries over. Do we need to eat? I don't know if we need to eat. But when you have a lot of kids and your wife is out with health issues, nobody can go to the grocery store because we don't even know what to get. I come back with Doritos, Jack's Pizza, Top the Tater, and Little Debbie snacks. That'd be my shopping list. Here's the thing. Our small group interjected themselves into our life and our situation. Some of you guys need to interject into somebody's situation. Well, it's awkward. Yeah, you know what? It is awkward. But Jesus was also awkward. You could be like Jesus with Zachariah or Zacchaeus. You know, hey, I'm coming over to your house tonight. Where do you live? That's not my joke, but it is funny. I just heard it yesterday. Hey, imagine you're at the gas station, pumping gas. Hey, I'm coming over for dinner. Where do you live? Anyway, Eric, Samuel, Tim, thank you. All right, interject yourself. Here's just a couple more. Send an email. You know, I read from the research that somebody gave. Well, Paul Olson was the one that wrote that research. Paul Olson and I, a couple years ago, we were talking, and he goes, I really want to do research for Pastor Rob. He's got a degree, but I didn't even get into the Greek stuff because I'm uneducated. No, but I didn't even get into most of the notes there. But that started from Paul and I having a conversation. I go, Paul, just send Pastor Rob an email and offer it. Well, guess what? Pastor Joey used that research, all the camp. The Lord is blessing the church because of a guy who said, hey, I have a skill, a talent, and I'm willing to offer it up. Send the email. Start a new tradition. Some of you need to go clean the house. Get the booze out, the drugs, whatever it may be. THC, if it's THC, that was pretty quick. It was only a couple of days. But get it out of your house. Go home, clean house. I've got one that I wrote for me. I got to call a person. I have a friend from high school that lives a gay lifestyle in Minneapolis here. We haven't had coffee in a long time. I need to call him up. We need to have coffee together. Some of you need to quit. You know, I'm not telling you to go quit your job. Don't quit your job and move in with me. Don't do that. But some of you need to go in on Tuesday and go, hey, I quit. I'm open to what the Lord has for me. Here are the two outcomes I want to give you. When you boldly follow God, you will live in peace with yourself and with humanity. And when you boldly follow God, you will actually fulfill your destiny in life. I want to pray for two people today. The first group of people is this. You have never boldly said yes to following Jesus Christ. You have never done that. And today is the day that you can do that. There's probably only a couple of people in here, but we're taking time for you and you alone. You've never said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I am going to follow you. I am going to live for you. So out of respect, if everybody could bow your head and close your eyes, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you as you boldly raise your hand and you say, yes, I am going to live for Jesus. I am sorry for the things I've done wrong. I do want to live for Jesus. I want to have Jesus in my heart. If there's anybody in here, I just want to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want you to boldly raise your hand and say, yes, I want to live for Jesus. And this is important. Yes, I see your hand. This is important. It's important for you. It's important for you because this is the day, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, you'll tell about this day that you boldly raised your hand to live for Jesus. Let's pray together. Say this with me, whole church. Say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I repent of my sins. Thank you for dying for me. Please come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I will live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The second group of people I want to pray for is, and I sure hope there's a ton of people who are in this category. As I was going through that list of boldly taking action in a certain area, whatever, and you're like, you know what? I do need to take action. I want to pray for you specifically. It doesn't matter what it is. We're not filling out surveys. We're not doing any of that. But I want to pray for you. And then we're going to sing this chorus together. But before I do that, so how many of you are like, you know what? There is a bold action I need to take. I need to take a bold action. Just raise your hand all across this place. Yes. Yeah. Leah. Joe, thanks for raising both hands. Jesus, I pray for every single person here today that has to take a bold action. God, we pray Psalms 138, verse 3. Lord, we're crying out to you today, and we need your boldness to give us strength today. We need your boldness today to give us strength, Lord, so that we can take action. I pray for every single person here today. Raise their hand in Jesus' name. Amen.